Hi, I'm Abigail, and I'm addicted to money. So for the next 50 seconds, I'd like to feel dirty, inconsiderate, manipulative, and ashamed. I apparently agreed to play the game of life by the rules made by the rich in order to make them more rich. And because I feel powerless and out of control, I am asking you to listen to this ad for Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your computer or phone. Anchor will distribute your podcast wherever you can get podcasts. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And everything you need to make a podcast is in one place. So download Anchor for free on the app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So yeah, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. What is up, weirdos? You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host. You guys, we're on Instagram. The underscore main underscore weirdo one is the name. The Manic Pixie Weirdo is the podcast. I'll put a link in the description so you guys can follow. I linked it to the Twitter, so but I'll update the Twitter so everybody knows what that is. How is it going? Shit is nuts. Shit is fucking crazy. Here in America, for those of you overseas, what do y'all think? I don't know. We have a listener shout out. I'm gonna give a shout out to a couple of listeners. In the world. France, what's going on? I do not know how to say the name of the French city, though, and I would butcher it. My sister is fluent in French, but I can try to figure out what the name of it is. But yeah, anyway, what's up, France? How's it going? What do y'all think? How do y'all think this is going? I think it's going pretty great. It's awesome. We had an attempted coup. Yeah. So that's fun. This is going to be kind of like a mixed match stuff. We're going to talk about sobriety. This is going to be my episode on my personal relationship with sobriety. So that's what we're going to talk about in a little bit. If you don't want to listen to this bullshit up at the top, just fast forward. Like 15 minutes or so. It'll be fine. You'll figure it out. Because we're going to talk about here at the top, we're going to talk about all the insane shit that's going down here in the US of A. So that's super fun. It's nuts, man. This is crazy. I mean, goodness. We had an attempted coup. So that was really fun. It was set off, I believe, from what I have gathered. It was set off by the Georgia runoff election because Ossoff and Warnock, I believe, are the two senators from Georgia that got elected. Was not a crushing defeat, you guys. It wasn't. It was really close. From everything I have seen, it was really close. And it's going to be. It's going to be really close until we fucking fix some shit. We have several episodes that are going to be coming out that have absolutely nothing to do with, like, the political spectrum and stuff. I'll probably do a couple mini pixies to kind of let you guys know. But I think it's time. This is still going to be the relationship podcast. It is 100% still going to be the relationship podcast because that shit's important. It's really important to talk about those things. And that's the whole reason why we started this. And we're going to be talking to everybody still. Like, so everybody's welcome. This isn't going to turn into some, like, political bullshit. You know, this is... But it's time for me to, like, come out with how I feel about some of this stuff. Because at some point, if you're silent, you're complacent, and I can't be complacent. People are fucking pissed. Okay, people are fucking pissed, and that's fine. That's totally cool. I get it. I understand. A lot of people have, with the coup attempt, a lot of people have been freaking the fuck out. You know, first of all, in a war, I don't know if people know this, but in a war, if you take the capital, like, you fucking win. You win the war. Like, that's how wars are won. If you take the capital, and you, like, run your flag up, you win. You win the, like, you win the war. You've declared victory. That's how it works. Like, you want all the stuff. So from that standpoint, and it as it turns out, DC's not that hard to take. It's not. Apparently, it's just, like, super easy. You can just be like, yeah, come on in. We'll just, you know, move the barricades for you. That's cool. So, that's great. I mean, I'm sure, you know, no one's ever, like, thought about doing that. Never. There's no way, you know, that's ever going to be thought about doing. But, you know, in case anybody else wants to know, that's how you win a war. And turns out, it's not that hard. So that's really scary and really fucking terrible. But so a lot of people are, like, super upset. They're like, oh my God, it was a fucking nightmare. Like, oh yeah. And then you, of course, have, you know, Pelosi. Democrats are fucking weak. Y'all are fucking weak. You're fucking weak, pathetic assholes. Okay. The reason, I don't know if anybody else knows this, but the reason that, like, the right is so appealing, I guess, to a lot of people, is because they're fucking honest, okay? Republican politicians are at least fucking honest about the, you know, how awful they are. You know, yeah, they're like, yeah, we're fucking horrible, war-hungry, war-profiteering, you know, fossil fuel, dick sucking, you know, monsters. But fucking vote for us. Give us money. And then they do. And then people do get elected in that party. And Democrats are the snakes in the grass, which sucks. And I hate that fucking, that saying, because I love snakes. I fucking love snakes. They're like some of my favorite animals. I love snakes. But they are. They're the fucking snakes in the grass. They're the ones that look at you and go, oh my God, this is so terrible. Can you believe this? This is terrorism. Oh my God. It's fucking awful. Oh, can you believe this? Trump did this and it's the worst. Oh my God. It's so crazy. Yes, we want to give everybody $2,000 checks. That would be amazing. We need to do that. Oh, you guys, the Republicans are dicks and wouldn't let us do it. Meanwhile, behind closed doors, they're making fucking a shitload of money by fucking over people. Okay. So Democrats, you're fucking weak snakes in the grass that are pathetic and awful. You're a fucking jam if you're a Democratic politician. I'm not talking about Democrats like people who identify as Democrats. Those would be neolibs. I have a different issue with you. But Democratic politician, if you have a D by your name and you're running for public office, okay, your jam is private prisons. Your jam is the pharmaceutical industry. Your jam is fucking big tech, okay? Twitter, Uber, all of that. That's your jam. Those are the lobbyists. Those are where you get your fucking money from. You just, you know, basically lie about it. It's called lying through omission, meaning you just, like, conveniently leave that part out. Still lying. It's still fucking lying and dishonest, okay? That's how that fucking works. Republicans, their jam is, you know, fossil fuels and war profiteering. So that would be, like, weapons and That wonderful stuff. That's their jam. That's where their lobbyists, that's where their fucking money comes from. So that's really super exciting. But like I said, at least Republican politicians are honest about it. They're like, we're fucking awful, but give us money and vote for us. Because at least we're fucking awful and we're telling you we're awful. And people are like, okay, at least they're being honest. At least they're being honest about how awful they are. Okay, that's the appeal. For all of you out there that don't understand what the appeal or why. Oh my God, it's so close. How is it close? Oh my God, Biden, it should have been a sweep. I can't believe X number of people voted for Donald Trump. It shouldn't have been that close. Fuck you. No. It's gonna always be close because both are awful. Republicans are just slightly less awful because, you know, they're at least honest about how awful they are. Democrats, like I said, are the fucking snakes in the grass. Okay. That's how that works. That's why people are angry. Yeah, and then, you know, you have, so going back, you know, you have Democrats, Pelosi specifically, who I saw it in a fucking press conference yesterday on Twitter, and she was like, well, I've called for the resignation of, you know, she's like, oh, I have called for the resignation of the police chief person, you know, in D.C. police, and, you know, that I have been assured that the, his resignation will be on my desk within the next couple of hours, and then we need to figure this out. We need to understand how this happened. How could this have possibly happened in our wonderful country? We need to have an investigation. The FBI and the CIA. We need, and Homeland Security. We need to know what happened. Bitch, we know. It was Donald Trump in the White House with a smartphone. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Okay? It's not. It was Donald Trump in the White House with a smartphone and internet access. I mean, that's it. That's what fucking happened. There's no investigation needed. Okay, this West Wing idea of compromise negotiation. We have to reach across the aisle. We need to take the high road and do it. That's not working out. Okay, it's working out for everybody who is rich. Okay, if you are, I'm not even talking about 1%. I'm talking about if you have millions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars. Like, you're not in the club, meaning like you're not in the super, super rich club. But, like, they'll let you into the country. Like, they'll let you into the lobby. Like, they'll be like, okay, cool. Like, you can hang out here. We set up, like, a Golden Corral-style buffet that, you can have some shit on. We won't, like, we're not going to, like, hurt you in the sense that, like, you know, you can keep your money. And because you have money, like, you get in the lobby. And you can have the Golden Cross style buffet, but like you're not in, you don't ever get to go to like, you know, like the main area. You don't get to go to like the main, you're in the club, but you're not in the club. Like you're not in the inner circle, but you're still like, you still got in the fucking door. Do you have any, like the number of people that don't even get in the fucking door? Is the vast majority of us. Okay, there are 380 million fucking people that live in the United States of America. The vast majority of us don't even get in the fucking door. Okay. Yeah, this West Wing style negotiation, hand across the table, we have to compromise, bullshit's not working. It's not. It hasn't worked. And you know, there's that saying, oh, I don't even know if it's a saying, but it's this idea, it's a quote, and I'm sure everybody on planet Earth has heard it. If you continue to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that is what insanity is. Okay? That's what insanity is. And that's essentially what we've been doing. What's the difference between the coup attempt and, you know, Black Lives Matter? There's no difference. They're protest. Y'all are on the same side. You guys, y'all are on the same side. You've just been told that you're not. And you drank the Kool-Aid. And to be perfectly honest, I was a member of that, of those groups too. I was 100% like, well, we're not. But we are. We're the same. We're the fucking same. The difference being the right is generally more populated with white people. And the left is usually more diverse, which makes it, especially in a racist country like America, that makes it a little bit more difficult for stuff like yesterday to happen for the left. BLM was the same thing. It was the same exact thing. They just didn't get as far because they were, you know, minority groups. It was a minority group of people protesting. I mean, there's video of the police pulling the barricades out, you know, away, like, you know, out of the way, so that the people could just go in, like, walk it, just fuck it, go on in, like, whatever, that's cool. So that's fun. Turns out, if the terrorists are white, the police have to play nice. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, people. But you're on the same side, okay? We need to stop fighting against each other. Okay, white people, the most impoverished group of people in America, are people that live in Appalachia. And a lot of people would say that that is the majority of those people are white. That's probably true, that the majority of those people are white. But that doesn't mean that there aren't minority groups in there. It just means that the majority of those people are white, and they're fucking angry. And since the Democratic Party has ceased to be the party of labor and the party for the working class people, they've got nowhere else to go. Okay, it's not rocket science, you guys. It's not. What it is we need to have a war on the rich. I'm talking millionaires and above. We need to have a war on the rich. And that's why people are mad. People are just, they're just fighting against each other because they think, well, A, they've been told that that's, you know, that black people or brown people or, you know, Chinese people, or Asians are the enemy. And they're coming after you. They're not. Okay, they're not. They're in the same boat. We're all in the same fucking boat right now. We're all in the same boat. And we need to have a war on the rich. I'm talking millionaires or above. Those fuckers. Do you have any idea what you could do, even if you had $1 million, just a million, if you had $1 million, do you know how many textbooks that would buy? Think about that. Do you know how many textbooks or pencils or pens or pieces of paper, school supplies that would buy? Just think about that. Okay. And billionaires 100% should not exist. It's not a thing that should ever be a thing. But we're all fighting the same thing, and it's the rich. And there have been studies that show that the more money that you have, the less empathy you have. The more money you get, the less and less empathy that you will have with other people. I forget what the cutoff is. There was somebody that did a study on that. And I forget what it is that, you know, where that cutoff is, where like once you've reached this number of dollars, like after that dollar amount has been reached, then is like that's where like you sort of flip over and you become like you start to lose empathy with other people. I forget what it is, but you can go look it up. I'm sure just type it into Google. How much money, like that would, like that's the number of like how much money is too much money. Like that's what it is. And it's bullshit. Because guess what? Guess what? The rich don't give a shit. Laws were created to keep the peasants out. And yesterday we saw peasants, you know, a small group of peasants decide enough is enough. We can't do it. We need to come together. Black, brown, white, everybody. Asian, dogs, cats, fish, gerbils, guinea pigs, all of us. We need to come together and we need to demand enough is enough. You don't get, they work for us. They're publicly elected officials. They are publicly elected officials, which means they work for us. We are the people they work for. And they need to be terrified of us. The government should be scared of its people, not the other way around. Not the other way around. Okay, a government is not just there to protect its citizens from war, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's not only a business. It's there to take care of its people. That's the main thing a government is supposed to do, is to take care of its people. And it's not happening. They're taking care of a very small, elite group of its people. Which, oddly enough, is a Republican idea. Okay, Republicans, I don't know if these are the modern day Republicans, but originally the Republican Party was the party of A, family values, and B, small government. You don't need to create new laws, you need to enforce the laws we already have. Okay, that was the idea, small government. And to a certain extent, I agree with that. I think we should have stuff like, you know, healthcare, Medicare for all. I think we should have stuff like public housing for everybody. There are countries on this planet that don't have homeless people. Let's do that. Let's do that. You know what else we need to do? We need to stop thinking that America is the end all and be all and the greatest thing since sliced bread. We're fucking not, okay? We're fucking not. And I would argue that we really haven't ever been. I mean, except for, you know, a portion of the population, if you're a white male for a very long time and you were rich. Again, with the rich thing. Then, yeah, shit was awesome. Shit was fucking great for you for a while. But if you were a white male and you weren't rich, it was better than being black or Hispanic or Latinx. or Asian. But it was marginally better. And that's fucked up. We need to come together. Because when the rich look at us, when the rich look at all of us, doesn't matter if you're black, if you're in BLM, or you were part of the coup attempt yesterday, or the other day, because it was 2 days ago. It doesn't matter. Because when they look at us, they see the same fucking thing. You're too stupid and too lazy to be, you're too stupid and too lazy to be rich. Which means you don't deserve the perks that you get if you're rich. You don't. That's what they think about all of us. Every single one of us. If you're not rich, then you're too stupid and you're too lazy to be. Which means you just don't deserve to have all those benefits. You just don't. And to all you fuckers out there that are like, well, you know, you can just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can just go to college and just get, you know, get a degree. That shit's not enough, and it hasn't been for a long time. Okay? It hasn't. Student loans. Even if you become a doctor. You know how much it costs to go to medical school? Do you have any idea how much it costs to go to medical school at a Division I public school in the state of Texas? It's about $250,000. It's $250,000 for 4 years of medical school. That doesn't include you haven't paid your mortgage or your rent. You haven't made a car payment. You haven't paid for insurance for your house or your apartment or your fucking car. You haven't bought food. You haven't put gas in that car. You haven't put food on the table. You haven't bought toiletries. I'm not even talking about like 5 different kinds of shampoo and all that shit. No, I'm talking about like you haven't bought soap. You haven't bought, you know, if you're a woman, you haven't bought feminine projects, feminine items, tampons, pads, whatever. You haven't bought, you haven't paid for water. You haven't paid for electricity. You haven't paid for internet, which in today's modern society, I believe is a necessity. We should have, it should just be a given. You should just be able to have internet access. You shouldn't have to pay to have internet access. It should, I mean, you should have to take it out of taxes. But there should be government, you know. Now I can hear the arguments for that, you know. Oh my God, but it would be so terrible. It probably would. It would be 100%. It would be awful. To which I say, guess what? You know what we need to do? We need to stop thinking again that we're the fucking greatest. Because we're not. We need to start looking at other countries and see what they've done. And take their ideas and be like, hey man, Sweden, Norway, Ireland, what's up? Hey, can we like borrow, like what did y'all do? Because y'all are doing something right. Your system might not be perfect, but that's cool. Let's find out what the things are that y'all are good at. And let's do that here. Let's borrow their ideas. It's not hard, okay? It's not like it would be that difficult. France, what's up? Hey. What do y'all have that's like fucking awesome? That are y'all like, even if it's one thing, even if it's one fucking thing that they're just like really good at. Hey man, let's borrow that idea and let's try it here and see what the fuck happens. Nah. But that's a dream. That's a dream. That'll never happen. I don't know. It could if we get our shit together, but I don't think so. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so yeah, you haven't paid for shit. You haven't paid for internet. You haven't paid for shit. God help you if you have a family. You haven't paid. That doesn't include the $250,000 it costs to go to a Division I public school, public medical school in the state of Texas is $250,000. It's $250,000. For 4 years. And like I said, it doesn't include any of the shit that you did to live, that you need to live to even get there. And that doesn't even guarantee that you'll get in. You haven't paid, you haven't done anything about your MCAT scores, internships, nothing. You haven't even got in yet. Okay? So that doesn't include the 4 years that you had to pay to go to college to get the undergrad prerequisites that you would need to get into medical school. And then let's just say you do it. Let's just say, okay, you did all that stuff and now you're in and you got it and you're in for 4 years. Well, here's the part they don't, nobody else ever tells you. There's something called residency. Okay. Residency is 3 to 8 years. It depends on what kind of doctor you want to be. And that's after medical school. Okay, that you have to do. And then if you want to be a specialist in something, that's called a fellowship. Which means that you have to spend more time and money to get more schooling to go. And that's fine, fine. But we need to take care of people to do that. Because after that, let's just not even factor in all that stuff. And let's just say that you don't even have a family. Because you've been killing yourself to become a doctor. So you don't have a family. You haven't had kids. When would you have time to meet somebody and like marry them? Like that's when exactly would that happen? So it's just one person. At the end of all that, you're still $250,000 in debt. Unless, you know, you have somebody that you know. Either you or like your family or, you know, somebody that you know just has $250,000 just laying around, just like hanging out. Just like, you can have that. That's true. Fuck it. Whatever. Yeah, you can have that much money. I guess. I mean, there's no guarantee I'll ever see that again, but whatever. That's just to go to medical school. So once you get out, even if you do manage to pull yourself up on the bootstraps, turns out you still have bills to pay. And that's just to become a doctor. I'm not even, we haven't talked about law school. If you want to be an engineer, if you want to have a master's or a doctor, a PhD in something, I mean, the fucking list could go on forever, man. Like, it just doesn't stop. So even if you manage to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you still have bills to pay at the end of it. We don't take care of the people that we need to in this country. We don't take care of anybody. We take care of the rich. And if you're not rich, then fuck you. That's how it goes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll talk more about that later. Probably not. Anytime soon. But I'll pop into it. I'll do a couple mini pixies if, you know, anybody. And if anybody else has anything to say or they want to talk to me about this, like, fucking let's talk about it. Okay? We'll do a mini pixie. I'll do a fucking series on your positions, on what you think we need to do. Other countries, what the fuck is up? If you want to be on this podcast because your country does something fucking super awesome, like really well, even if it's just one thing, come on here. Let's fucking talk about it. What do you do that we don't hear? Because we need your fucking help, okay? We need your fucking help. We need everybody's help. I don't give a shit what country you live in. If your country, if you are in South, I don't care if you're in South America, you could, South America, Canada, fucking Europe, Russia, Asia, Africa, what's up, Africa? Y'all do some shit right. You actually do. Like, what's up? Like, come fucking talk to us. Come on. We need help. We need ideas. What is it that you guys are doing that we're not doing? We need help. We need something. So, we'll keep doing that. It was longer than 15 minutes, my rant. I'm sorry. But, I mean, you fucking will get over it. Just, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's cool. Segue, stay sober, everybody. Okay? Try. I know it's fucking hard. God, this shit sucks. It's fucking nuts. And I get it, you guys. I fucking get it. I interviewed, so Steven from Reddit is back, people. Steven from Reddit is fucking back with us, and he is talking about his sobriety, and we talk about sobriety. It's going to be two parts after this episode drops tomorrow, which would be Saturday, January 9th of 2021. We had a good 7-day free trial. I'm nervous about the rest, but we'll figure it out. It's fucking fine. So he's back. He's going to drop where, it's going to be two parts again. And we talk about all the stuff. But this is like sort of my precursor to sobriety. Just like my little experience is going to be a little bit shorter than normal, but that's fine. So I am a recovering drug addict, and okay. So I hesitate to say I'm in recovery or fully sober. And the reason for that is I don't want anybody, to be like offended if I say that I'm sober or I'm in recovery, because I'm not like, I don't fully, like do the thing. Okay. I don't really drink anymore. It sort of lost its appeal. I had like a short run with alcohol, but alcohol, I've said this before, alcohol was never my thing. It was never, I can't stand the taste. I can't stand the smell. And I did it for like 2, maybe 3 years. And I was like, eh. It just, I feel like shit. I can't like be a functioning human being. Plus it depresses the shit. Like alcohol is a depressant. And so it like, Like, I'm not a fun alcoholic. Like, I'm not fun when I drink. I can be. There's a point where I, like, become fun. But then, like, after that point, like, if I have any more drinks after that point, like, I just start getting, like, really depressed and really anxious. And I don't like that feeling. I don't like, or I get, like, so I get really depressed and really anxious, or and then because of those things, like I start getting like upset and I get like very emotional, and it's like it's a whole thing. It's not great. So I don't like it. So I'm not a fan. I don't really care. But it is it's a thing. So I don't really drink anymore. I just don't even really want to have like any alcohol, not because, you know, that saying that like one's too many, but a thousand's never enough, because I sort of look at it, like I'll just look at it and I'll be like, ugh, I'm going to feel like shit if I drink that. And I don't want to feel like shit. Plus I use my voice for a living. Like that's how I make my money. And alcohol is really, really, really bad for your voice and your vocal cords. It dries it out so fucking bad. Like, it's awful. Oh, hold on. I'm gonna tighten this shit up because it's okay. I might edit that out. I might not. Just depends because I'm fucking lazy. But
Right. So it's really bad for your vocal cords. And because I use my voice to make a living, like that's how I make money. It's not good. It's not great to do that. I already smoke cigarettes and I drink coffee. Like I drink caffeine. I'm like trying to cut back on the caffeine. I don't know when I'm going to give up fucking cigarettes. I don't know when or if that will ever happen. It'll probably happen at some point, but I just, it's a slow process, people. Okay. It's a slow process, but to me, it's kind of like, I already have those two things that I do that are both really bad for your vocal cords. I can't really afford to add like another thing on top of that. So it's just like, it lost its appeal. But I would consider myself a recovering drug addict. Again, hesitate to say that because I do use marijuana. I do, like edibles, that kind of shit. So I'm not like fully sober, you know, I'm not like fully in recovery. You know, it's not something that, like, I'm not, like, super committed. You know, like, it's just, like, so I'm not fully in recovery. But my drug of choice, because drugs were my thing. Drugs were my fucking thing. And my thing were prescription pills. Okay, my thing was prescription pills. But, I mean, I'd really do anything you'd put in front of my face. It didn't really matter what it was. I had a pretty short run with drugs. It was like less than 6 months. I like hallucinogenics. I will still occasionally dabble in the Hallies. But I haven't done those in like a really long, it's been like several years since the last time I did it. And I don't really use them as... And because of that, well, A, I wouldn't know where to get any to begin with. And I don't really want to because to me it's more of a spiritual thing. It's something that I do. I do it like once every couple of years, every like 5 years or so. And then, you know. And then I don't. Then I just like don't do them again for a while. But yeah, so my thing was prescription medication. I started with hydrocodone. I was 17. I started using in March, in the middle of March 2011. I was 17. I was like a month away from being 18. By the time it hit my birthday, so like a month later, I had a very short run. It was less than 6 months. But by the time I hit my birthday at the end of April, in 2011, I was using fentanyl. I don't know if anybody else knows what that is. It is a painkiller. It's a very strong painkiller. And eventually I shot it. I was shooting it up in my veins. It's not great. It's not good. I eventually went to treatment. That's how I ended up in Chicago. My home. What's up, Chicago? My home. Love it. You know, I grew up in Texas. In one of the cheapest places to live in Texas. For 18 years, I lived in Texas. First 18 years of my life, I lived in Texas. But Texas isn't my home. It never has been. Chicago's my home. I like to say I grew up in Texas, but I grew up in Chicago. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's how I feel about it. That's how I look at it. So Chicago is my home. Chicago is where I fucking grew up, where life started to happen and I started to figure some shit out. It's my home. I fucking love Chicago. All of you fuckers out there that are like, Chicago's a horrible place. I would never go there. Good. Don't go. Fucking don't go. We don't want you there. You're going to ruin it. I remember I was at fucking, my dad came for some conference or some shit, something, with some of his coworkers to Chicago for, like I said, for some shit. And I remember one of his coworkers being like, I was like showing him around because it's my home. That's where I live. I love it. It's so beautiful. It's my favorite. It's like a best kept, like a hidden gem, like a best kept secret. It's so fucking great. Anyway, but he was like, so like, where's the bad part? I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He was like, well, you know, you hear, the only thing you hear on the news is like all about all like the shootings and like how horrible and like awful it is. And I was like, that's like way the fuck over. That's like over there. That's like all this just like it's like a this very small part of the Chicagoland area. It's not like the majority of it. It's a very like small part of the Chicagoland area. And he was like, yeah, I guess, because it's like it's so nice. I was like, yeah, it's fucking great. Chicago to me has a like small town feel, but it's like a big city vibe. It's incredibly clean. It's very beautiful. People are super nice. Like it's the vast majority of people are really nice. Great public transportation. You know, you live in Chicago and then I moved back to Texas and I was like, fuck. I actually have to have a car because, like, we don't have shit here. Public transportation is great. I don't really know about, like, the politics that's going on in Chicago or anything like that. I haven't really kept up with that because I don't live there right now. But I loved it. It's fucking my home. I want to go back. I want, like, I've never been homesick in my life. I went to Australia when I was 14. And I wasn't homesick. I am homesick for Chicago. Like, I fucking miss it so much. My husband's never been, so I'm hoping that soon, at some point, I'll be able to take him and go back up there, show him around. He's open to, like, moving, so hopefully when his contract is up with his current employer, he might be able to transfer or something like that. That would be fucking dope. I don't know. But anyway, fucking Chicago's my home. So I moved to Chicago to go to treatment. I went to treatment in Lamont, Illinois, at a place called Timberline Knolls. Okay. You know, everything has bad shit, but there is some good. And I did learn a lot. Okay. I learned a lot in sobriety. I grew up in a family where alcohol wasn't a thing. Any of that shit it wasn't a thing. You know, my parents didn't have, you know, like a liquor cabinet or like any of that. Like that wasn't part of like our lives. It just wasn't a thing. I mean, I was in the womb going to like AA meetings. And I was the first baby that was born like in my parents' like home group, so for those of you that don't know what that is, AA is Alcoholics Anonymous, NA is Narcotics Anonymous, so like druggies. They have a bunch of other like different types of anonymous programs. So there's like MA, which is like Marijuana's Anonymous. They have CA, which is like Cocaine Anonymous. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a whole fucking bunch of them. Usually, you have to be in a bigger city. For there to be like all those other like random branches of the anonymous program. But for the majority of the time, it doesn't really matter where you are in the world. You can find either an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting or a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. So I kind of grew up in that system. Like my parents were sober pretty much my whole life. Like it's just, you know, one of those things. I've done it. I've gone to those meetings. I kind of have mixed feelings about it. I don't really care. I do think that those meetings have helped a lot of people. You know, we talk about it with Steven. And he says that like his big thing as to like why he doesn't like that style of program is because there is an emphasis on, you know, a higher power. That would be what it's called. Can't talk. And there is, you do have to decide to believe in something greater than yourself. And that to me was sort of an issue for a little bit, mainly because I'm super interested in like all different kinds of religion. And we'll probably do a series on that at some point, but it's just, so that is a big part of it. So I do want you to be like, if you are considering going to one of those meetings, understand. I mean, the first step is you admit that you were powerless over alcohol and your life had become unmanageable. Or drugs, your life had become, you were powerless over drugs and your life had become unmanageable. But like step two is believing in a power greater than yourself. They don't really care what it is. They don't really care what you call that thing. It could be God. It could be the force. It could be karma. It could be, aliens. They don't really fucking give a shit what you call it. But you just have to believe in something bigger than yourself. So there's that. I do want, if you identify as like an atheist, which atheism is a paradox in and of itself, because, you know, atheism by definition is I don't believe in anything, which is believing in something. That something just happens to be nothing. So it's a bit of a paradox, but basically, they're like, you need to be, I mean, there's a whole, in the big book, so that's the big book, that's the big blue book that, you know, people will talk about, and you read it, and it has, like, goes through all the steps. There's a chapter in there, the chapter for the agnostic, which, agnosticism is the idea, it is the most honest, like, system of belief, I guess. It's probably not accurate, but it is, because essentially if you're agnostic, then that means that you believe in something greater than yourself. You don't believe that like you are the end all and be all of the universe. You do believe that there's something bigger than you out there. You just don't know what to call it. Which is where, you know, the AA program comes in, and they're like, you know, it can be fucking whatever. You can fucking whatever. It can be whatever the fuck you want it to be. Call it whatever the hell you want. They don't really care. But that is a big part of it. Okay, so that is a big... And if that's an issue for you, I would still kind of recommend, like, just checking it out. And I guess you could just... You could be, like, a cafeteria. You know, there's something, like, called a cafeteria Catholic. But it's, like, cafeteria... I guess it would be, like, cafeteria recovery, where you just kind of take what you like and like leave the fucking rest. That's sort of how I've done it, a little bit. I've just kind of taken what I like, like the ideas that I like, and just fuck off with the rest. That's a way to do it. A lot of people would not recommend, a lot of people who are in the program would not recommend doing that. They would say you need to work all 12 of the steps. And even to that end, I would say try it. I mean, what do you have to lose? You got nothing else. Those programs have helped a lot of people. They really have. They've helped a lot of fucking people. A lot of people, my family included. Which is great, which is fucking awesome. Apparently, though, there are other things out there. So there's like, Steven will talk about it. Because he found something else. There's like go-to meat or something. I don't know. It's something. He found it. He'll talk about it in a couple of weeks when I upload those episodes. But yeah, so it's a thing. I would recommend, I mean, just reach out to people. The biggest thing about being sober is, you know,
It can be really difficult, especially now, you know, like today, with all the fucking crazy shit that's going on. It's cool, though. Like, you're not alone. You're fucking not alone, okay? This shit sucks for everybody. The thing I do like about the Anonymous program, though, is that it is pretty individually centered. And so it's very much like, you know, you decide if, like, alcohol or drugs is a problem for you. Like, that's a thing. Like, you personally decide that. That's why, you know, the first step is your life has become unmanageable. Or you are, you, fuck. Shit, the first step. I fucking just said it. You realized your life was, I don't fucking know. Anyway, you're powerless over alcohol or drugs, and you admit that you're powerless over alcohol or drugs, and your life has become unmanageable. Fuck. Jesus Christ. But you decide what that is. Okay? You decide what that means. It's pretty individually centered. So, by individually centered and by you deciding, that means that, like, you know, there's no number of, like, drinks that you have to, that qualify you to be an alcoholic. You know, there's no amount of money that you have to spend on drugs before they're like, yeah, you can come on in. Like, no, you personally decide if you think that you are an alcoholic or a drug addict and that your life has become unmanageable, because it's about your life. It's very individually centered. You decide what it is. And they have, like, you know, open meetings, which means that, like, so if there's a meeting, if you go, you can go online and look for meetings. And if it says open, usually it'll say open, like, either next to the meeting, or it'll just have, like, an O. But that means that, like, anybody can come. It doesn't matter. Anybody can come. You can decide, you can be like, I just want to check it out. Like, I don't think I am, but, like, I just want to check it out. You can go to those meetings. They're open meetings. A closed meeting means, like, no, you have to be working a program. Like, you can't just, yeah, like, not just anybody can, like, come to this. Like, you have to be like, no, I'm a fucking alcoholic or I'm a fucking drug addict. Like, that's what that means. I do understand the hesitancy, and we will talk about, and we talk a lot about, like, our issues, because I do have issues with the Anonymous programs. I don't really go into a lot of it, but, like, the first episode, Steven and I kind of talk a lot about that. And I do want everybody to know that there are issues. I recognize there are flaws in that system, okay? Like, yes, I agree with you. There are flaws in that system. I do think, too, though, that, you know, that system has helped a lot of people, and you can't discount that either. So, yes, there are flaws. You do have to acknowledge, though, that it has helped a lot of people. I would just encourage you, just check it out. And if you feel like it's for you, then fucking awesome. If it's not, then who fucking cares? I mean, oh, well. There's other stuff out there. I promise there's other stuff out there. Steven talks a little bit about it. There are other things that you can do. One of those things is fucking come talk to me. Shoot me an email. ManicPixieWeirdo@protonmail.com. Or, you know, DM me. @MPWeirdoPodcast. On fucking Twitter. I believe that's correct. Hold the fuck on. I'm cursing a lot today, you guys. I'm just annoyed, and yeah, that's fucking right. Okay. Or segue, DM me on the fucking Insta. We just got. It's a Manic Pixie Weirdo. That's the fucking
you know. But it's the main weirdo one. Okay, that's our Insta. I'll be posting more to that later. We'll fucking figure that shit out. I don't know. I don't even know, like, what you put on. I mean, I get you put, like, pictures and shit on Instagram, but I'm really fucking bad at pictures. I'm, like, super bad at taking pictures. I'm not good at it. My husband's good at it. My husband, but he does, like, landscapes. He's, like, really good at, like, landscapes and shit. He takes some really fucking beautiful pictures there. But I'm shitty. I'm a shitty photographer. I fucking suck at it. So I can't promise that it's going to be, like, top-notch. It's not going to be a top-notch Instagram, okay? It's just not, because I'm not good at that. That's just not. Plus, that's a lot. So I'm now doing Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, so it's a thing. Yeah, talk to me about it. If you want to come on the podcast, we'll fucking hook you up. Let's do this. We can do it over, you know. We can talk about it, all the stuff. Just reach out. And go online. I understand. There are a lot of places that, like, if you just type in, like, you know, help with alcoholism, a lot, like, the main shit that's going to come up for alcoholism and drug addicts is the Anonymous program. I get it. I would say give it a shot. Like I said, just try it. And if it's not for you, then it's just not for you. You know, we'll figure it out. We can figure that shit out together. You know, that's cool. I don't have an issue with that. Let's fucking do it. There's a great book, actually, that my sister got me. It's a little bit more geared toward women. Actually, it's not a little bit. It's definitely, you know, geared toward women. However, hold on just a second. I gotta grab it. Okay, I grabbed it. I should have had this, like, by me, but I'm not a fucking professional, man. Okay, so my sister got me this book, and like I said, it's called Quit Like a Woman. Like, that's the name of the book. It's by Holly Whitaker. The Radical Choice to Not Drink in a Culture Obsessed with Alcohol. It's a really great book. It's a really, really fucking good book. And I guess my only issue with it is that it takes this sort of idea that, like the Alcoholics or the Anonymous program is basically rooted in misogyny, which, I mean, let's be honest, it was founded by two dudes in the 50s. So, yeah, yes, yes, yeah, it's a thing. I guess my critique for Quit Like a Woman is this book is not just for women. Like, again, just take what you, like, read the book and then take what you like and leave the rest. Okay. Take what you like and read the rest. And also quit like a man. I mean, fuck it. Like, just substitute the word woman for, you know, man, or if you're binary if you're non-binary, then, they, them, I believe, is correct. I don't know. But just, I mean, you know, it's a really good book. Check this out. Hannah Gadsby. She did. Oh, she has a quote from Hannah Gadsby in the beginning. I forgot about that. There's nothing stronger than a broken woman who has rebuilt herself. Hannah Gadsby. That's true. But it's not just for women, okay? Like, it's not just a specific thing for women. Like, men can use this shit too. It's just updating it. Like, it's just updating. It's taking all of those critiques of the Anonymous program and being like, hey, I have issues with this, 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 and this. So fuck those things. And we're going to update this shit. So She does. She fucking updates it. But she does it in a way, like I said, because the idea for, I believe the thesis for this book is that the Anonymous program is rooted in misogyny. And again, like I said, it was found, the Anonymous program was founded by two dudes in the fucking 50s. So of course it's going to be rooted in misogyny. Yes, I agree with you. But I think that she does talk, Hannah Whittaker, or Holly Whittaker in Quit Like a Woman, The Radical Choice Not to Drink in a Culture Obsessed with Alcohol. She makes good points. She talks about stuff. It's, and like I said, it's just an update. It's like, let's fucking update this shit. Let's modernize it. So even if you're not a woman and you don't like the Anonymous program and you're still like, I don't really give a shit that the Anonymous program is rooted in misogyny. I'm not about that, but I just don't think it's going to work for me. It's fine. Read this book. And there are other books that you can read. Not necessarily by her, but, oh, Holly Whittaker is the founder and CEO of Tempest, formerly Hip Sobriety. With years of experience in the fields of healthcare and tech, she created an individualized recovery program in 2014 through a virtual platform that offers education, community, and support services. She lives in Brooklyn with her cat, Mary Catherine. That's so cute. Okay, that's fucking awesome. So check out The Tempest, formerly Hip Sobriety. Apparently it's an online situation. I didn't read the book jacket. No, I just read the book. I didn't read the book jacket. But it's a thing. So there are other things out there if you don't like the Anonymous programs. That's cool. I'd still recommend checking it out, especially if you've never done it before. Check it out. And if anything, just be cafeteria sobriety and take what you like and leave the rest. And find other resources. Like I said, come talk to me, read that book. It doesn't necessarily, I mean, just because it's called Quit Like a Woman doesn't mean that it's exclusively for women. Dudes can use it too. She makes some good points in there that I think, some good things in there. So some good points about, you know, things that I don't think necessarily, you know, are exclusively for women. I think it's just, you know, it's just a good idea. So yeah. I'll put a link, or not a link, but I'll put the book in the description, along with all the other new stuff. There's been a lot of background noise. I'm really sorry about that. So, yeah, guys, it fucking sucks, and it's fucking shitty. But we got to stick together, okay? We've got to. We've got to figure out how to, like, you know, come together and fucking figure this shit out. And if that means we start setting shit on fire, then, you know, somebody's got to. They've got to listen to us. But don't use alcohol and don't use drugs to try and numb that, because it's not fucking worth it. As somebody who's been down that fucking road, it's not fucking worth it. I promise you, it's not fucking worth it. You're hurting yourself, and you're hurting everybody else, and that fucking sucks. And it's painful. Recovery's hard, and it's painful. Because essentially, you have to look at all the fucked up shit that you did. And you have to go back and you have to look and go walk back through the battlefield that, you know, is your life. That was created by you to a certain extent. There's plenty of blame to pass around, okay? But therapy is really good. Therapy helps a lot. Yeah. Reach out. Fucking talk to me. If you need help, if you need something, just fucking reach out, man. I will do what I can to help you. Like I said, we don't have like a shitload of money. We're not fucking rich people. We're like, we're not even 100,000-aires. We're like, you know, we make like a couple, you know, like tens of thousands of dollars. Like that's about all we make in a year for between me and my husband, which is fine. So I don't really have like a lot of money to give. But I can give you support and I can help you find resources and stuff. And I'll let you come on the podcast and talk if that's what you need to do. It's cool, guys. We can do this. We can figure this shit out. We can. We gotta stick together, though. We got to. And don't fucking reach for that bottle. I know it's bad. I know it fucking sucks and it hurts. And it's so fucking painful. I get it. I know. I've been there. That's just gonna, you're just putting a band-aid over a bullet hole wound at that point. It's not gonna stop the bleeding. It's gonna make it worse. I promise it is. I know it is. So just reach out. Check us out. We can do this. We can. Together we can do this. Yeah. Well. All right, guys. I'll run through the stuff again. Instagram, the new Instagram. Check that shit out. The_main_weirdo1 is the Instagram. Manic Pixie Weirdo is the name. At MP Weirdo Podcast is the Twitter. Manic Pixie Weirdo at Proton Mail is the fucking email that you can email me and reach out. All right, guys. We can do this. Be kind and stay weird. Love you guys.